This is the Angry Admins podcast for January 2nd, 2007, episode number 9. Welcome back, everybody. Happy New Year. This is the Angry Admins podcast. My name is Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Necessary.
In this show, if you haven't already heard, we discuss technology in the workplace, gadgets at home, and basically where we think information technology is heading. It's two sysadmins just sitting around talking about what's going on in the world of technology. On the radar this week, we've got a couple good stories. Ryan, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
Okay, one of the things that I picked up on a couple weeks ago was the RFID passports that are coming out now, issued in the United States. If you get a passport after the first, you supposedly will get one that has this new little gold logo on the front, and that indicates that your passport has an RFID chip in it. So if you go through some sort of electronic monitoring thing, then this chip will get activated and they'll be able to read your information off of it. Now, a lot of people are concerned that, oh, people will be able to steal my info, blah, blah, blah. So people are interested in a way to disable this. And it appears that Wired Magazine, they did an article, and it looks like the best way to alleviate your fears would be to take a hammer and hit the back of your passport to disable the chip.
Now that's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah, I know. If you can't fix it with a hammer, it cannot be fixed. So they do not suggest microwaving it or putting water on it, because you're probably just going to ruin your passport. But just having a passport where the RFID is not active, or if it's broken, that doesn't invalidate your passport. But if you damage it some other way, then they could probably make you get another one. So that was what Wired's take on how to reduce your fears if you're worried about having an RFID in your passport.
Go caveman style on it.
That's right. Hit it with a club.
Oh, that's cool. So another possible security breach has actually already been fixed since we first heard about it, but looks like Google had one of its first serious flaws. There was a vulnerability in Gmail that once you logged in, if you went to a website with this JavaScript in it, it would basically be able to steal all your contacts and other security-related information right from you. The reason this was possible is because Google stored that information locally on your account through a Java file. Apparently, this has already been fixed. There still may be some little exploits out there, so watch out when you're going to shady websites, you know, as always, but looks like Google smashed that pretty clean within, I think it was less than 24 hours that they've got the turnaround on it, so good right. For them.
Yeah, and they did say that they appreciated folks reporting it.
Sure.
So that's cool. Along with the other security news, saw a thing, the Internet Security Center, sponsored by the SANS Institute, they reported that over the Christmas holidays there was a 10% reduction in the number of infected PCs on the web. They went from like 500,000 to 400,000, something like that. And their theory is that new computers got given as Christmas gifts, mm-hmm. so that over the holidays people were unplugging their old clunky infected computers and plugging in new computers that were probably running XP with Service Pack 2, which were more resistant to all the worms and the hacks and all the infected Trojans and this and that. So they thought that that contributed to the to the immediate reduction over just the holidays.
That makes sense.
So yeah, it's a good thing, because people, I guess, if they don't want to upgrade, just if they don't want to install patches, you can always just buy an all new PC.
So all those people running Windows Millennium Edition are all
right
gone away.
They've finally been caught up. So, and it'll nice. Be interesting to watch next year, because next Christmas, if we have all the Vista machines that get rolled out as gifts, if it reduces it again or if it's maybe worse.
Yeah, I wonder how that'll be. Interesting.
We'll watch it.
So the final thing on the radar, another holiday-related story. So this year, a ton of people got iPods for Christmas, apparently, because basically Christmas Day and right around Christmas, the iTunes music store was so flooded with traffic that it wasn't able to keep up and almost crashed their servers, which is unheard of in the history of of iTunes, except maybe when they released videos for the first time, I think it slowed down, but I don't think it's anywhere close to this. So looks like iPods are still the number one, and they just seem to be doing pretty well. In the Rewind, we have an update on our favorite Mac software, Parallels. If you don't remember what that is, Parallels is basically an emulator for OS X that will allow you to install Windows XP on your Mac and do lots of other things. We have several episodes covering this, so go ahead and go back and listen to those. But a new release, there's a part of Parallels called Transporter, which is basically the majority of the software that creates the images. And in the Beta 3 version of that just released, you can run a little wizard on your current PC. It'll create an image. You put that onto an external drive, load it on your Mac, and you have an exact copy of your Windows machine on your Mac.
See, that's nice.
So if you have an old machine that you're replacing that's Windows, you can keep everything you have installed on that, run it on your Mac, no worries. And that's, you know, I'd kind of seen everything else coming. It was kind of an evolutionary leap, but this to me is amazing that they can get this to work. I mean, with all the driver conflicts and everything, somehow they're able to just simulate those, I guess. And it's a simple wizard. You just run it on your PC and you're good to go. There are a few other things it can do that are interesting. If you have some VMware images, it'll now take those and convert them to a Parallels image, which is nice because VMware has been around forever. So if you have some old images you want to pull in, you can do that. Also, it lets you basically run it from removable media, which I don't think you could do before. So if you have an external drive you want to run Windows on and you don't want to take up space on your Mac hard drive, there you go.
Yeah. Does this launch does it boot like your PC in a window? Or
yeah, so Parallels, what it does is when you launch a Parallels virtual machine, they call it, it'll boot. You'll see what they call the Parallels BIOS boot up, and then you'll see a standard boot of XP.
Mm-hmm. So this transporter is doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's running a full XP from boot, ready to go.
So transporter then is the tool that, you know, is letting you dump your whole box into an image, which then Parallels can use.
Correct.
So this is basically, this is the kind of the gateway drug to get you from your old PC into Parallels and the Mac.
Which transporter, they haven't ever referenced it, but apparently that is like the core technology of Parallels. So that's why this is beta 3 and not like beta.
Pretty cool.
It's the new version of it. And you can actually upgrade your old version. There's a free upgrade.
Nice. So. Yeah. So we don't advocate, you know, Macs versus PCs, one or the other. I mean, we use, you know, whatever we need to for whatever situation. But, you know, for those that are interested and had reservations about moving their stuff to a Mac, you know, this is one more tool to eliminate, you know, that excuse, if that's your excuse as well. I don't want to reinstall all my stuff, or I'm worried that my stuff won't run.
Yep.
Cool. Very cool. Okay, as those of you with hangovers know, it is now 2007. we are going to take a look at what we think is coming down the pipe and the internet series of tubes for us in 2007, the hardware and software that we think is going to make the biggest difference over the coming 12 months. I'm going to start with some of my predictions for things that are going to be big stories, and I may be proven right or wrong as time will tell. So to get started, I'm going to take a guess that by the end of 07, we're going to have about 20% acceptance of Windows Vista. So I'm thinking 1 in 5 machines, this includes business and home, will be Windows Vista by the end of 07. I think there's going to be some lag there because Windows kind of blew it and they didn't have Vista ready for the Christmas shopping holiday. A lot of folks that bought PCs this Christmas, you know, they don't already have 2000, they don't have Vista on it. So I think it might be next Christmas before we start seeing, you know, a bigger percentage of machines with this installed. Next, I'm going to say that along with Windows Vista, because Vista is using the things like the Superfetch, we're going to see a lot of the new hybrid hard drives coming out. So these are the hard drives with the flash RAM, built in, which caches your most commonly accessed sectors on your disk for faster activity. So I think that when you, in a few months, when you go to the store shelves and you're buying your new serial ATA drives, that you'll start to see the hybrid hard drives there, and those will become kind of the de facto standard probably by the summertime or by the fall. Moving on to the cell phone domain, Joe and I recently attended a presentation by Lucent and Verizon, and they talked about some of the new cell phone technologies that are coming out, and notably, they're focusing now on the high-speed data for the internet access. So I think as the successor to the GSM and CDMA cell phones, we're going to have some new technologies which allow much faster internet access, email, maybe even streaming video to your cell phone. Of course, if you wanted this today, you would just move to Japan, because I think they already have all this stuff.
Yeah.
But it looks like we're finally going to get caught up, and they are interested in doing that. I know that's one of the reasons why I'm holding off on buying a new phone, because I'm going to wait to see what comes out in the first and second quarter of 07. In the entertainment realm, I'm going to say that Spore, which is a new game being launched by EA and Maxis, I think that's going to be the big gaming hit of 2007. If you haven't heard of this, it's a game where its creators, Will Wright, and this is the guy behind The Sims and SimCity and all of those hugely popular games. The premise being that you start out with a little microorganism and you kind of grow him up all the way up into the creature stage, and then the village stage, and then the interplanetary exploration stage. And it just looks like a really, really cool, really, really deep game that has a lot of the strategy elements and things that gamers like. And I think one of the really interesting things about it is it's a new type of game. So
yeah.
I think people are ready for something fresh and new, and this might be it. And, you know, this is my pick for the game that's going to be the big one for 07.
So, you know, the only thing that might kill that game is it seems like, you know, they're trying to do the massively single player, they've termed it.
Right.
I don't know if people are ready for such a long-term single-player game anymore. You know, I mean, we've talked about it in the past, and you know, it seems like everybody wants that online interaction, and it doesn't. As far as I could tell, the only interaction you have is you can see their planet in your game.
Right.
Right.
I think what'll happen though is that because your game client is going to download their content at regular intervals,
mm-hmm.
I think it'll feel more multiplayer.
You think so?
Right. Even okay. if it's not true real time, and I'm not sure exactly the mechanics of it, but I think that it could. I think it has the potential to be extremely addictive.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I guess I've just been disappointed so much with like Black and White when it came out. I was hyping it up, and I was like, "Oh, it's gonna be so awesome!" And then you play it for an hour, and you're done.
Right. Well, I think a lot of the single player games, they do have, you know, a beginning and an end, and mm-hmm. you know, within 40 or whatever hours of gameplay, then it's kind of done.
Yeah.
And some of them have more or less replayability, but. If they deliver on what they're suggesting, then this will be an incredible game. So
okay.
we'll
yeah.
see. And finally, for 07, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that some of the major TV networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, that they're going to really refocus a lot of their money and attention on their websites. Mm-hmm. So that mm-hmm. We kind of have now CBS and ABC where you can like go online and watch the shows the day after the television shows. But I think this is going to become, you know, instead of just sort of an afterthought, I think it's going to become like the dual approach towards delivering their media. They're going to have, you know, just as much attention spent on their website as they do spent on their broadcast television shows. Mm-hmm. So we'll look for that, and then we'll see what happens with the other stuff in 07.
Very nice.
What about you, Joe? What are your predictions?
So, my predictions for 2007. I'm going to start off with probably what I think is going to be the big one. This needs a little explanation, so before I reveal it, 2006, Time Magazine, you know, Person of the Year was you because of all the user-generated content online.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, everything we do is online. You know, you've got Google Docs and spreadsheets where you can have basically a version of Word that runs just as good and never crashes. You can do spreadsheets. You've got MySpace where everybody's connecting with all their friends. You know, people have thousands of friends on MySpace. And they're constantly checking back in on that for chats and updates. Whether or not you like MySpace, which we know that neither of us do, it's a big thing out there. And you've got Facebook. People are moving to Facebook. Same concept. You've got Second Life, a persistent online world where there is no point and people just go there to hang out.
Right.
You've got World of Warcraft, which there's millions of people playing all over the world, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have... There's the social aspect of things online now. The whole Web 2.0 movement of like Dig, you know, Slashdot's trying to get into this now. Even Microsoft tried to tap into it with the Zune with Welcome to the Social, which, you know, obviously they failed with that. But everybody wants this social aspect, and all of it has to do with being online,
mm-hmm.
being connected with other people. And you talked about the release of a broadband card by Verizon coming this year that's going to be high speed. Basically, T1 speeds is what we heard.
Mm-hmm.
So my prediction is this will be... So last year was kind of the year of socially user-generated content, and I think to take advantage of all that content all the time, this year will be the year of wireless, I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had these things coming out slowly over the last couple of years. You've seen cities trying to create free Wi-Fi. You've got Google getting into the action in San Francisco. You've got cell phone broadband cards, which are finally starting to get out there and be available, and the prices are coming down. People can browse the web on their phones. People can browse the web everywhere. I think all of those things are going to converge this year, and somebody is going to make a killer app or killer device, whether, well, I'll talk about that more later, but something is going to happen this year which is going to make all those things gel into one. And people are going to call it some sort of weird platform, wireless 2.0. Who knows? They'll come up with a silly name for it. But that's my big prediction for the year. So based on that, and I may get some flack for this, the Zune, I've hated. I think this year, though, Microsoft's going to release a firmware update that's going to give it all the features everybody still already wants. They're going to let the Wi-Fi actually connect to Wi-Fi, all these wireless access points somehow. And they'll be able to do. You'll be able to download while you're out browsing around. The other thing I think that's going to make it a win is these rentals and things you can do on Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to let you transfer those to your Zune.
Mm-hmm.
And the 360, it's so powerful, it can easily recompress those videos into a smaller format that you can watch on the Zune. That's kind of tied into that. So along the same lines with Microsoft, we talked about the Microsoft Novell deal. I think this is going to further divide the Linux world this year.
Mm.
You know, they had kind of started to unite, and I think this put a big divide in the Linux world, and I think that was Microsoft's goal. And I think along those lines, they're going to sue a major Linux distro this year based on patent infringements that have come out because of the Novell deal. And I think it's going to be Red Hat.
Mm.
I think Red Hat's going to get into trouble with Microsoft this year.
Yeah. Well, since they've incorporated... You know, and become, you know, a publicly held company, and they're kind of more of the business class Linux.
Right.
They're definitely the number one target now.
Yeah, so. I mean, they're the ones eating away at Microsoft's market share and business. And if they could scare people away from Red Hat, I think that would be a big help for Microsoft. And they're reeling. I mean, they need to do something. So
mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's that prediction. So moving on, more in the consumer line of things. I think this is going to be a big year for Apple, but I don't think it's going to be in the desktop world. I think Apple is going to see number one in sales in notebooks this year. I think they're going to beat out Dell, and they're going to beat out HP.
I can see it.
It's, you know, it's risky, but I think it could happen.
I can see it.
The MacBook is so cheap. You know, yes, you'll still have Dell with their $400 laptops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always going to be the market for that. But if you're spending around $1,000, why would you not get a MacBook?
Right. So we're talking for consumers, for home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, not for business. Business, they'll still be in Windows. They're so entrenched that it's mm-hmm. tough to break that share. But
no, I can definitely see that.
And then along the same lines with Apple, we've got the ITV coming out next week. And they've talked about it a little bit, but I think there's going to be some big surprises in there. I think for sure it will have a hard drive. So if you don't know what the ITV is, let me go over that real quick. It's Apple's product that's coming out next week that is going to allow you to connect it directly to your TV, and you'll be able to stream all of your iTunes content to it. So you can watch movies, listen to music, all from your entertainment center. And they said stream before, but I'm pretty sure a lot of it's going to be done locally. They'll stream it maybe while you're doing something else to the whole local hard drive, and it'll be all generated there. I think also, because of this release, Apple will finally be able to do high-def downloads and rentals, I think. I think it's a missing piece that they need, mm-hmm. that people are going to want, and they've got the back end for it now. So I think that's coming. I also think the ITV will have a keyboard and mouse that can interface with it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it will either have a built-in web browser, or you'll be able to remote desktop to your Mac and maybe even to your Windows machine, so that you have a full desktop environment streaming to your ITV.
Yeah, I could see them doing something where on your TV, it basically remotes into your Mac or your PC and just launches an iTunes interface there. But I guess it could be like a whole browser, like a Safari type browser type thing. Interesting.
I mean, with high def, you know, you can get a nice screen, so you can easily browse with that. You know, they'd be able to one up Microsoft on it, because Microsoft doesn't have a browser for the 360 yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have their Media Center PCs, but those have kind of languished. So
right.
Oh, and the other thing I left out, I think they're going to make iPod games run on the ITV, so that you've got some little cheesy arcade games that you can play on it.
Right. So that'll be like. How much? What's the price point to this? Do we know?
$299.
Interesting. So you know what? I think that's going to have to do more than what they've told us.
Yeah.
If they're going to sell it to me.
That's what I'm kind of basing this on. Because $299 just to stream media, that seems way too expensive.
Because why not just stream it straight? I mean, they could probably figure out some sort of a cable and some software thing to just let iTunes do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to have something else under the hood.
And there's been some rumors that it's going to have, instead of just like a simple iPod interface, it's going to have an embedded version of OS X. So that's why I'm thinking it's going to be pretty powerful. It may even do more than I'm thinking, but I'm going to keep it at that. One last thing on the Apple front. We've got OS 10.5 coming out next week, and I think it's going to be a big disappointment. I think it's not going to be, and my big reason for that is I think it's going to be nothing better than Vista, and nothing better than we've already heard about.
Right.
I think the big ones are going to be the ITV, the iPhone, if it happens. And there may be some other consumer hardware device that comes out. But I don't think OS X Leopard is going to be anything exciting.
Yeah. Well, it seems like Jobs made a comment recently that, oh, our next release is going to make Vista look stupid.
Right.
You know, it's going to look childish. And I don't know where they can go
would
make that happen.
I mean, Time Machine's going to be huge. It's their integrated backup software. They've needed that for a long time.
Right.
But I just don't see them doing... I mean, they're going to overhaul the interface probably. I would say it'll probably be a black interface. Because if you look at like the new versions of QuickTime and their big stress on black with the MacBook and the black iPods,
mm-hmm.
I think they're going to go for a black instead of the blue that they're in right now. But other than that, I don't see a major overhaul.
Yeah, I can't imagine where they would go. And, I mean, they may come out of left field with something bizarre. I tell you, the only hole I can see right now that I wish they would fill would be to update some of the stuff like GarageBand and iWeb and iDVD with, you know, some more features, templates, and stuff like
but
that.
But that's not technically OS X. I mean, that's iLife.
Right,
so.
But I'm just thinking in the whole Mac world, I don't know of anything in the operating system itself that I feel like they need to improve.
I mean, I think OS X's pretty good the way it is. Yeah. You know, there are little things, and they need to make it all kind of unified, because there's some apps that look like the old brushed metal look, and there's some that have the new look. That needs to be all the same.
Right.
But that's not going to be like, oh, look how much better it is than Vista, because Vista already has that.
So you don't think there's going to be anything in Leopard that's going to make us all want to run out and get it?
I don't think so. I think people will still get it for things like Time Machine and other little improvements. But I don't think it's going to be a major rush.
Interesting.
Which could be a problem, because XP to Vista is a big jump, at least in the looks department.
Right.
And that's going to make them more on level with OS X, finally.
Well, it's definitely a jump in the hardware requirements department.
Definitely.
If you want to take advantage of all the new stuff.
Right, right.
So,
So that's in the Apple realm. Final predictions have to do with Google. My one love, Google. I think they're finally going to combine all of their online softwares into some sort of package. I haven't been able to flesh this out in anything. You know, they tried to kind of do this with Google Desktop where they integrated everything into that, but that doesn't work. I think it has to be online only.
Right.
You know, that people don't want to install something. So they're going to have some sort of unique interface. You see some of this already with people trying to do online OSs, but it's not going to be quite like that. But it'll be in some way you can see everything at once, and you can get to all your apps through just one click. And they're close, but it's not there yet, and it needs to be there for them to go to the next level.
Right.
And then finally, on the TV realm with Google, I think they're going to surprise everyone with an overhaul of YouTube that's going to blow everyone away.
You think bigger resolution? Or?
I think higher res, maybe even high def. I think they'll have TV subscriptions, very much like iTunes has,
right,
instead of just little pieces. And I think they'll have full-length movies.
Yeah. Well, something's got to change, because I think there was a window there when Google bought them that said, you know, we want to pretty much give you some money so you can pay off all the folks and just get an agreement that they won't sue you until we work out some sort of a licensing agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So that whatever they figured out is about to time out. So they're going to have to do some sort of pay for download or something like that.
And they've got the short clip niche that, you know, that's all YouTube. Everybody goes to YouTube for that. And, you know, they're going to continue to move into like web or in a mobile realm, being able to stream those to your phone and things. But I think they're going to release something. I don't know if it's going to be a desktop app or what. I don't quite have this fleshed out either, but I think there's going to be something big with YouTube that people are going to be shocked by.
So how long, this is kind of a sidetrack, but how long do you think Google Video is going to be around now that they have YouTube?
I give it 6 months max.
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense to support two competing, you know, platforms, especially with Google Video being definitely the lesser of the two.
Right.
Okay.
So that's it for me for predictions for 2007.
Yeah, that's it. I think, you know, time will tell. It'll be interesting to watch the first and second quarter, especially when is Macworld?
It's 1 week from yesterday.
Okay, so we should be
covering it next week.
Right, we'll see what happens. That'll be
the keynote. I think is next Tuesday for Steve Jobs. So
okay, right.
That's when everything gets announced.
Right.
So next week we should have some detailed coverage of it.
Okay, and then we'll either be very excited or very angry.
And probably the week. So for those of you who are wondering about the wireless coverage, we'll be covering that, the wireless scanning. We'll probably be covering that either next week or the week after.
Right, yeah. 2 weeks ago we did kind of a part one on network tools, utilities, and stuff like that. And then we're going to come back for part two next week.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We just want to thank you all for listening and wish you all a Happy New Year. Please visit our website, www.angryadmins.com. We are looking for comments, questions, user-submitted stories, anything you want to give us. We're here for the users and the listeners, and we just it's all about you guys, so please go there and give us some feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast either on iTunes or through your favorite favorite podcast aggregator. We've got some links on the website for that. Just look for the subscribe link. Thanks again, everyone, for listening to the Angry Admins podcast. My name is Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Necessary.
See you guys next time.